That was Spring from Victorian Garden Suite, performed by Christopher Digan. And a good morning to Mornay.
A very good morning to you, Lasman. Tell me, it's our monthly check-in. We just want to know. A month ago, we spoke about the Zamiacolis plant, in which I gifted you one. And I'd like to know, how is Sophia doing?
I can, with a very open heart, say Sophia is thriving.
That is good to hear. Because we are going to do this on a monthly basis.
We must. Yeah. No, Sophia absolutely is absolutely thriving, and the two kitties are really enjoying her as well.
And talking about kitties, one of the questions that come up on a fairly regular basis is about toxicity in plants and pets. Now, it is a bit of a touchy subject in terms of the fact that one must remember that most plants in the world have some form of toxicity. You can eat a ton of parsley and it will kill you. And that is the reality. All plants have some type of a compound within their system which acts as a natural deterrent to most type of insects and or browsers, which are there naturally. And obviously, when we have pets in the house, one must be very just aware of the fact that there are certain plants. And I think if I go through lists, it's going to be a very, very long discussion, which we don't have time for. But one must be very aware that there are plants out there that can significantly cause some type of damage to especially young animals, puppies and kittens. You know, with time, all animals learn. They have, I think, built-in inherent alarm system, which tells them what to chew on and what to bite. But unfortunately, during those playtime period in their life where they just simply don't have two brain cells to put together, they will eat and chew anything, and one must be very aware of it, especially with puppies, I think, more so than kittens. And there are wonderful books on the market. Breezer Publishing have two very good books. So if you want to do some research, and I've often found that just going onto the internet and Googling doesn't always give you the necessary information that you're looking for. I just want to mention these two books. They're both by Breezer Publishing. The one is Poisonous Plants of South Africa, which is incredibly comprehensive, not only when it goes about our indigenous plant species, but also common garden plants, ornamental garden plants, which should be avoided at all costs. And there's another one, which is Mind-Altering and Poisonous Plants of the World, which expands a little bit further. And of course, there's some very interesting read with regards to certain species when it comes to that mind-altering and poisonous plants of the world. One will be completely astounded when you realize the compounds of certain plants with regards to what they can do, and how they are ultimately there to protect themselves. And it's actually quite interesting if one goes and does a little bit of research. And research that has been done into how plants can chemically change compounds within themselves if they feel threatened. So we find it in South Africa in the bush. A number of tree species have been observed that we'll always find that the browsers that are eating, especially antelope, which are eating off the trees, they always do so from a downwind position. And scientists could never quite understand why this was happening. And then eventually they found out that the plants were changing their chemical composition within the leaves and creating more tannins, which made the leaves less palatable to the plants. And that's why if you're seeing the grazers, they nibble a little bit on a tree and then they move on to the next one and so on and so on. And what was found is that the plants and the trees themselves were giving off chemical signals which were being sent downwind to other plants, signaling to them, listen, there is danger imminent, we are being eaten, there's something that wants to eat us, and that would then signal a change in the chemical composition of the leaves, which will make them less palatable. So once again, the toxicity of a plant can also vary depending on the situation with regards to the defense mechanism. One of the interesting plants with regards to that is English holly. English holly actually changes the shape and the the texture of its leaf if it's been browsed by animals. Normally, it would have a smooth, non-serrated leaf, but the moment it starts being browsed by animals, in the case of in Europe, it would probably be deer, what happens is it changes, it becomes spiky, it becomes hard, and then you get that traditional holly which we can associate with Christmas, that sort of serrated, pointed leaf. So once again, a defense mechanism within the plants. But I think the golden rule with regards to plants in the house that you have, if you are not sure, do the necessary research. The other thing is obviously keep it out of reach of any animals, and for a matter of fact, young children as well. I think one must just be logic about what you do. Pick them on higher levels until you've done the research and found out. And then, of course, one of the things we must remember, not only with small animals, but with small children as well, berries, red berries. There are many in the garden which are quite edible. We know that Eugenias, for instance, their little berries can be eaten. In excess, it will give you a stomach cramps, definitely. Those are generally a sign. Red berries are a sign that there is something going in there that's not too kosher. Nature gives off its own very distinct signals when it comes to colors of what to avoid at all costs. And definitely we must take into consideration, for instance, the seed of our indigenous cycads. One would be silly to even think about consuming it, but they are incredibly, incredibly toxic and can even lead to death. But one would never really think about as an adult to eat one. Why would one? It is not palatable at all. So I think common sense prevails. Do your research. Also go down to your local nurseryman and ask them if you are unsure about certain plants. Unfortunately, in South Africa, there is no specific legislation which says that plants need to be marked as having levels of toxicity as such. So it is definitely worthwhile doing your research. And if you have any specific questions, just please remember that you can email your questions or your queries regarding gardening to gardening@fmr.co.za.
Thank you, Mornay. We love our plants and we love our pets.
101.3 FM. This is Fine Music Radio.
Ready to sell your Rolex? Visit my website, peterbuyswatches.co.za.
Ballet Domains are in for a treat this week as the South African International Ballet takes to the stage. The dark, twisted world of high school power plays comes alive in Heathers the Musical, while Abrapsa and May return to Artscape to present their thrilling take on Shakespeare's greatest play, Hamlet. All this and more at the Theatre of Choice. For further information on these exciting productions, kindly call Artscape Dalaseed on 021-421-7695.
The FMR Bursary Trust Music Awards celebrates the very best of classical music, jazz, and African music. The finals of the jazz and African music sections are at the Baxter Theatre on Friday, the 26th of July at 6:30 p.m. There's a very special magic when you watch young musicians play, so join us for this exciting event. Secure your free tickets through web tickets. With thanks to the Rolf Steffen Nussbaum Foundation.